Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
I'm going to read to you this morning from Acts chapter 3. And so that's found in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And this is what you're going to hear is a sermon that comes after a miracle. We're going to talk about the miracle and then see why the sermon's the way it is. But it's Acts 3, 12 to 19. So this is a sermon from the Apostle Peter to a Jewish audience. And this is what he has to say. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that the Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So again, today's scripture is a sermon that follows a miracle. And you need to hear about the miracle because it's really one of the coolest miracle stories ever. What happens is Peter and John, so the apostles, the disciples, Peter and John, are on their way to the temple for a prayer time, and they do this miracle, but they're so cool in the miracle. Whenever I hear this, you have to know the mental image in my head is they're like Jedi Knights. Now, if you are like my age, you know that Star Wars, like the real Star Wars, the original ones, like the real ones, were a big deal, right? And when the third one came out, Luke was awesome. He was this like full-on Jedi Knight, and he came in, and this is where he goes into Jabba's palace, and he's like doing things, and he's like awesome, right? This is how I picture Peter and John. I may be wrong, but I also went to seminary, so I might be right, okay? So this is what's going through my head. So Peter and John are on their way for a prayer service, and as they're on their way to the prayer service, there's this guy who's been lame from birth. Now, lame from birth is a big deal, because if somebody's going to be healed, if they've been lame from birth, it means that whatever's broken never worked. It's not like they had a sprained ankle or a broken leg or something, but for whatever reason, this guy could never walk. And in that time, the only way that you could actually live, like you couldn't go to temple, you'd have to stay outside, and you were cut off from all sorts of stuff. The only way you could live was to beg for money so that you could have food to eat. So he had friends that would carry him, this lame guy, to the gate. And then he would beg for money. Now, Peter and John are walking by. And as they're walking by, the guy asks for money because this is how he's going to get food to eat. And then Peter and John, they say this. This is the coolest line ever. You got to picture this. They're walking by. And the guy says, "Hey, you know, have mercy on me. Give me some money." And Peter stops and he says, "Look at us. I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Isn't that awesome? Like, isn't that amazing? Like, that's like the coolest move ever, right? That's gangster, as the kids would say, right? Do they say that? I don't even know. But that's, yeah, he just walks up. He's like, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. Get up and walk. This is awesome, right? And guess what the guy does? He gets up and walks, right? That's what makes it even more cool, right? He stands up and walks. And not only does he walk, but he starts jumping around. This is an incredible thing. So this guy gets up to walk and jumps around. And you would believe the people in the area are like, "Holy cow, what just happened," right? And so they're really curious about what happened. So this Jewish crowd gathers around him. This guy, by the way, is really thrilled. So he's hanging out with Peter and John, his new best friends, right? Which would make sense. And all the Jewish people are gathered around. They're like, "What is going on here?" And so this that you just heard is the sermon that Peter gives to that Jewish crowd that are amazed by that healing. And the interesting thing is, if you did something awesome like Peter had just done, wouldn't you be like, well, let me tell you a little bit about Andy, right? Like, wouldn't you be kind of tempted to like go off on yourself? But the thing is that what Peter does in that moment is he says, let me tell you the meaning of what just happened. Let me tell you the meaning of what just happened. And then he starts off by interpreting for them what this healing means. And the first step he does, he says, look, this isn't about me. Why do you look at me like I'm something special? That's not what happened. The very first step he did is he says, he wants to make it clear that it's not because Peter is awesome that this thing happened to him. And then he appeals to their common Jewish heritage. Peter is a Jew. The folks who are there are Jewish. So he says, now the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, he's going into like, hey, we're all Jews. And he appeals to their common ancestry. But then Peter goes into this, he's really brave. Like, he goes into this really touchy area. If you know the story about Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus was handed over by whom to the Romans? By the Jewish people. The Jewish people turned him over to the Romans to have him crucified. And then to make it worse, Pilate, the Roman governor, wanted to just let Jesus free after he had been scourged. And the people, the Jewish people who were there, said, no, we don't want him back. We want this murderer named Barabbas. These are really awkward facts if Peter's going to get into it. And Peter starts off, he says, hey, look, the God of our ancestors raised up this Jesus that you crucified. Like, oh my gosh, like that's kind of brave to like go right there immediately into the elephant in the room. And he goes into that touchy area that the God of our ancestors glorified his servant Jesus and you all rejected him. In fact, Jesus was the author of life and you all killed him. You all killed him, but God raised him to life. Peter faced that group of Jews who wondered where this power came from. And he said, well, the power came from the guy that you guys killed. And then he points out, he says, and this guy, the reason he got up is because I said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And faith in Jesus' name alone is what made this man walk. And so now what he's getting at is, this miracle that happened is proof that there is power in Jesus, Jesus that you rejected. F.F. Bruce, a New Testament scholar, says it well. He says, the cripple had been cured because Jesus had been glorified. Like, that's what Peter's getting at. The reason this guy's walking and dancing and jumping around is because Jesus has been glorified. Jesus is glorified, and by the way, he's the one that you guys rejected. And so Peter is like presenting this uncomfortable fact to them that the very Jesus that they rejected is the one that God lifted up. And the proof that he has for this is this guy who used to be lame that's jumping around. And Peter's message then plays out through some big contrasts. There's some big contrasts here. The humans rejected Jesus, but God glorified him. They rejected Jesus, but they chose a murderer, Barabbas. Jesus was the author of life, and they killed him. People killed Jesus, and God raised him up. You see these contrasts and these kind of opposites and this tension that's going on here. Well, what do these contrasts show us? I'm going to do just three quick things that these contrasts show us. First is it shows us that God's ways are different than our ways. God's ways are different than our ways. Our human tendency is to miss what God is doing. God is doing something, and we tend to miss it. We just see it wrong. Christ was sent to save us, and they turned him over to be crucified. His own disciples betrayed and abandoned him. And which, by the way, I want to make sure that we get this point here. He's talking to the Jews, the Jewish people were the people who turned him over. But we would be silly if we didn't think that we would do the same thing. Like, when you read Scripture, it should challenge you in the stuff that you do. Like, if you read Scripture and you're reading how your neighbor ought to be a better person, you're probably reading it wrong, right? It's supposed to be challenging us. And these Jewish folks, they missed what God was doing and they turned Jesus over to be crucified. We would do the same thing. It turns out that the things that we value and that we think are important aren't necessarily the same things that God thinks are important. So we miss what God's doing because God's ways are different than our ways. Second thing I'll point out is not only do we not choose the right way, a lot of times we choose things that are bad for us. The crowd, so Pilate wanted to release Jesus. So Jesus, just to be clear, Son of God, sent to save us. That's a good thing. So they want to release, Pilate wants to release the Son of God sent to save us. And the crowd says, no, don't release Jesus, release Barabbas. Now Barabbas did what? He was a murderer. That's a bad choice, right? And so we got to think, again, we got to think instead of thinking all those stupid people to think, well, no, like this should challenge us and to think, gosh, it's not just that they chose wrong, but they chose a guy who had proven he's willing to kill people. Right? We not only do we not choose right, but we end up choosing things that are not good for us, that hurt us. Whenever we choose sin over God's ways, that's what we're doing. We're choosing things that are damaging to us. So God's ways are different than our ways. We choose things that hurt us. And finally, this gives us insight on how people tend to receive Christ, which is to say that they don't. We have this initial rejection of Jesus. Our tendency, our human tendency, is to reject the one that God has glorified. Because that's what Peter's talking about right there. They rejected the one that God glorified. God sent his Son to save us. We rejected him. God's ways are different than our ways. We tend to choose things that are bad for us, and we reject the one that God sent for us. Peter is up front on this whole thing. Like, he goes into this like really awkward conversation about, hey, you killed the one God sent to save you. But he does that in order to shock people. He wants to shock his audience so that they understand they saw this whole thing wrong. They read Jesus wrong. They were wrong, and they saw, and so he shocks them to hope that they can see things the right way. And then Peter follows up with this really kind of fascinating and really hopeful thing. He says, look, you guys acted in ignorance. Your leaders acted in ignorance. You didn't know what you're doing. And then he asks them to repent. And by repent, he means instead of going one direction, you're turning and you're going to a different direction. So instead of following the normal human tendency of rejecting Jesus and asking for the murder and stuff, he asks them to repent, to give up their mistaken views of Jesus, and instead take God's perspective on Jesus, not the human one, and to turn to God, to follow God's ways and God's Savior in Jesus, to give up your old ways and turn to God's ways. And then he says, and this is an amazing thing, in verse 19 he says, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Now, let's be clear. The main sin that he's talking about in this sermon, the main thing they did wrong, was not a small thing. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to come and to save you, right? And what did they do when God sent his only Son? We rejected and killed him. Not a small deal. It's not like they stole bubble gum from the Five and Dime, right? Kids, Five and Dimes were stores back in the day. Right? It's not like a little deal. They killed the Son of God. And Peter amazingly says, look, you acted in ignorance. What you need to do is you need to follow God's ways for you. And your sins will be wiped out. Can you imagine the worst things you've done, if God says, look, just turn to me and I'll erase those. I'll wipe them out. An amazing thing, an amazing offer. It's incredible. You messed up, but God wants to forgive you. I was thinking about this whole thing about how the Jewish people had the wrong perspective on Jesus. They saw him, they thought he was a problem and they thought he was something not good, and so they treated him one way. But Jesus was instead really there to save them. And Peter's whole sermon is about getting them to see Jesus from a new perspective. And so I was thinking about this, and I came across this story on Twitter, which usually Twitter just makes me angry, but sometimes it has good things. And so there was this, one of my friends retweeted a story from somebody, I don't even know the guy this came from, but it was this fascinating story they wanted to share from a guy named Tom on Twitter. He's apparently in college. And he says this: in one of my management classes, I sit in the same seat in front every day. Every single day, I sit there. Now, I also sit next to some foreign guy that barely speaks English. The most advanced thing I've heard this guy say in English is, wow, my muffin is really good. This guy also has the habit of stacking every item he owns in the exact space that I sit. His bag, his food, his books, his phone, always right on my desk space. Every single time I walk into class, the guy says, "Ah, Tom, you here? Okay." And frantically starts cleaning my desk of his belongings. He then makes it a habit to say, "Ready for class? Yeah?" And gives me a high five. Every day, this guy gives me a high five. I was always annoyed with this guy. I'm thinking, dude, you know I sit in this seat every day. Why are you always stacking your crap here? And the last thing I want to do is give a guy who barely speaks my language high fives at 8 o'clock in the morning. Just get your stuff off my desk. But today I came to class. I was running a few minutes late. I could see my usual space through the door out of the corner of my eye. And of course, my desk was filled with his belongings, the usual. And another guy who was late walks into the class before me and tried to take my seat, since it's closest to the door. The guy who sits next to me stops this dude from sitting down and says, "I'm sorry. My good friend Thomas sits here." It was then that I realized this guy wasn't putting stuff on my seat to annoy me. He was saving me the seat every morning. And this whole time, he saw me as his friend, but I was too busy thinking about myself to take him into consideration. I ended up going into class. Of course, he cleared his seat, and he said, "Ah, Tom, you here? Okay." And I did get a high five. Then he goes on to say they ended up going for a bite to eat after class. He says, "The guy moved here from the Middle East to pursue college education in America. He plans to go back after he gets his degree. He's got 2 kids and a wife. He works full-time and sends all his leftover money back home to his wife. I asked him how he liked America. He said he misses his family, but it's exciting to be here." He also said, "Not every American is nice to me like you are, Tom." You know, we reject Christ in so many ways, and I think too often we think about Jesus or religion, and we think there's just these annoying rules that get stacked onto stuff, and it just, we've got our own thing we want to do, and we just think if it would just get out of the way, and we just really misread the situation, because Jesus isn't doing stuff and trying to get into our lives to annoy us. But it's more because he's always considered us his friend. I know it's cheesy to say, but I still think, like, I hear this story and I think of how the Jews misread Jesus, and I think of Jesus preparing a place in heaven for us and saying, "Oh no, my good friend Andy sits here. Or my good friend, whatever your name, they belong here." Has God been reaching out to your heart and you've pushed it off? Have you misread the situation? Do you get annoyed with things that God does? What if God has been viewing you as a friend all along? It's just been saving a place for you and making an offer for you. You know, 2,000 years ago, there's a group of people just like you and me who really misread the whole situation. And Peter said to them, "Look, you were ignorant. But if you repent and turn to God, all of your sins will be forgiven. He's saving a place for you. Repent, and all of your sins will be wiped out." That's the offer that Peter made to them then, and that's the offer that Jesus makes to us this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me, please? So God, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would whisper into our hearts and invite us into a relationship with you. Help us to hear your voice, saying, "Oh, my good friend, you belong here." And God, I pray that you would give us the eyes to see what you're doing and to say yes. Amen.